I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With every episode, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers.
Welcome back, listeners.
Yes, welcome back. It's our back-to-school special.
But it's really the tail end of our summer vacation, because we kind of looked at approaching our 150th episode, which is a pretty big deal.
Pretty big number.
And between our Patreon content and the main feed, we've accumulated quite a bit of material that's not like just straight away show. It's sketches, it's songs, it's a, you know, extended intro, stuff like that. And I thought, what better time than to do a clip show?
Clip show sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is when you presented it to me, I was like, clip, like sketch show, like that's gonna be three items. And then I started like looking at them and I was like, oh, we have a lot.
Yeah we've done a lot. Yeah, it's been a busy 3 years.
The best thing is when going back through them, some of them, like the Grand Guignol, when we did that was literally done in the closet. So we were very creative for some of these.
Yeah, some of these we even recorded at the office.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's the miracle of audio wizardry that we could turn material recorded at our former office that's how much time has gone by.
That's true.
Since we've started this podcast, we both lost our jobs.
I quit my job. Thank you very much.
That's fair. I got severance.
I got freedom.
But yeah, in the years that we've been working on the show, we've done a lot of writing and a lot of producing of sketches. And so we are kind of picking out our favorites, and we're sharing quite a few pieces that were originally Patreon exclusives. And so you all will get to hear those for the first time. And thanks
again. Some of
them
will be out of context.
Well, we're going to give intros and outros. We're going to try and set the stage for some of them. Cause yeah, it's one thing. Like if we were the Simpsons, everybody gets it. Everybody gets the Simpsons, but some of these sketches were entirely different people.
Right.
We're doing
your
voices.
Most favorite sketch, your most favorite one, which I think is one of the silliest ones. Like to me, it's just, I don't understand why you love it so much, but we never did Wicker Man on our main show.
That's right.
So the people are going to be like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, it was the small town horror episode. Uh-huh. I think because we had just kind of amassed a bunch of material on that particular episode on the main feed, we covered Needful Things, Calvaire, The Lottery, and Wicker Man. And there's a moment in The Wicker Man that I find utterly hilarious.
There's a lot of utterly hilarious moments.
But only a few on purpose. This was one that I thought could have been pushed a little further. And so this first clip that we're going to play for you is a sketch that I wrote out based on the moment that in Wicker Man, when the constable shows up to the island. It is an island, so he has to take a seaplane.
Yes.
And I mean, impressive. I guess he pilots it himself. I don't remember. No, he must get dropped off.
I think he gets dropped off because
he's not also a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so when he does get dropped off, like the locals aren't welcoming. They want to know what he's doing there.
Yes.
And they want to know his business. And so it's a really awkward start. And I thought, like, that is the moment where the locals could kind of just tell him to piss off. Over on patreon.com/rancemacabre, we are eternally grateful for their contributions. They make episodes like this possible because they, you know, they also challenge us to kind of, you know, venture into weird territory, and they humor us when we produce pieces like this. But yeah, so this is Mindy playing the local. Wait, no, you're playing the constable. I didn't have the nerve to do an accent, so I just kind of barely put a little bit of townsy folk on it.
I feel like, yeah, in many of these skits, you made me do an accent. Which I love
thing.
Accents, but I'm not so good at them. And so, whatever. This is going to be Mindy's bad accent show.
I don't think it's so bad.
Here we go.
This is Summer Isle, is it not?
It is, sir.
Well, I'm right there. Now, would you send a dinghy, please?
I'm afraid it can't be done, sir. This is private property. You can't land here without written permission.
I, as you can see, am a police officer. A complaint has been registered by a resident of this island of a missing child. Now that makes it a police matter, private property or not. Now will you send a dinghy, please?
Once Edward Woodward lands in his biplane, there isn't a proper dock, so he needs the locals to send him a dinghy. At that moment, he's at their mercy.
I'd like a dinghy, if you please.
Have you lost your bearings?
No, I don't think so. This is Summer Isle, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the right place. Now, would you send the dinghy, please?
I'm afraid not. Sorry.
Why?
It's private property. You can land here without written permission.
I, as you can see, am a police officer. It's written right there on the side of my plane. A resident of this island has made a report about a missing child. Now that makes it a police matter, private property or not. Now, will you send the dinghy, please?
No.
What?
If we let you on land, are you going to arrest someone?
If I find out who the guilty party is, yeah, I guess.
Then no.
What?
We don't want that, so no. No boat.
But you have to. I'm police.
No. Go away.
I won't go away. I have a job here to do.
Well, if you want to come on land, you're going to have to swim over.
But I don't want to get my uniform wet. Come on. Send the dinghy.
Nah. And scene.
And scene. So glad I didn't have an accent. Just my normal Midwestern monotone.
Yeah, they just got to take our word for it that we're in Summer Isle. It's all about the establishing scene.
Summer Isle, Central Illinois, with a touch of Indiana.
So included in these, we're also going to use elements of some of our favorite openings, some that, you know, demanded a particular amount of production that, you know, we wanted to remind you guys is all in the back catalog. This particular one, this is going to be the meta horror episode. Actually,
all right.
This is poignant in that this was our 100th episode. This was our big hurrah. Leading up to this, we had done the tweet-along for Wes Craven's New Nightmare,
yeah.
Which went really well. We should plan on
doing another. We should
do another
one of those.
Yeah, that's really fun. I've contributed to Anatomy of Horror, has done a couple mm-hmm. watch-alongs on Twitter, and those are a lot of fun. So yeah, this is our 100th episode intro. We kind of played with the idea that there is no Darren, only Mindy.
Movies that call out all the cliches and tropes associated with our favorite genre and subgenres. How it feels like some people still haven't gotten the message. The movies that we're going to talk about today are both reflective looks back and immersive storytelling that challenges the medium. Like I quoted before, the best way out is through. Oh, that was good. All right, change to edit mode, change paragraphs around, add this to the end, and render.
Full voice render will take 9 minutes and 35 seconds.
Oh, I need a new MacBook. Execute the word exchange and run through Darren filter 2.
When a genre reaches a saturation point where it feels like every story has been told and every angle covered, one can't help but reflect. In the words of Robert Frost, the best way out is through. So we start asking questions, asking why and where these themes evolved, how cliches came to be, calling into question whether they're even still relevant. These moments allow us fans to catch our breath and take stock, to reference the pillars, those shoulders of giants on which modern filmmakers stand. But often, I'm surprised that after these watershed moments, we don't collectively pause and wait for everyone to catch up. How after these moments, in this case, these movies, that call out all the cliches and tropes associated with our favorite genre or subgenres, how it feels like some people still haven't gotten the message.
The movies that we're going to talk about today
are both reflective looks back and immersive storytelling.
Challenges the medium.
Like I've quoted before, the best way out is through. Okay, so now everybody's heard that Mindy does this show entirely on her own.
Entirely on her own.
She starts with a stream of consciousness and then starts editing down from there. She's got a super smart computer like Kit from Knight Rider.
We call him Darren.
It was like Darren Program 1 or whatever. Yeah. It's like, you know, the funny one. Use that one. Why use the boring Darren? Who in their right mind?
But you know what? Someone on Twitter was commenting on your very soothing voice, which I got kind of jealous because this Midwestern accent is very soothing to many people.
I think you were the one who told me that the automated voice on the subway is meant to be like a generic Midwestern kind of broadcaster voice,
right?
Because that's supposed to be assuring.
Yeah.
Assuring.
But mine is clearly not, because it's a, you know, it's an abrasive kind of voice. I think
you think so.
Yeah, yours is very soft and lulling and nice.
I don't know. Because I don't hear myself back, I don't have a good objective sense of what my voice sounds like, and I certainly don't particularly like it. You ever get that when we're editing long episodes, you're just kind of like, oh, if I could just shut the fuck up.
I remember one time telling you how I like to edit. I like to edit. I like to sit there. I like to cut as much of myself out of it as possible. And you were like, I do that. That's what I do. So the episodes where I'm talking a lot, Darren has edited.
That might be telling. Yeah, that's one way to pick them apart.
Because
yeah.
I will just, I'm like, oh, that was stupid. That sounds dumb. Edit out.
Okay, so speaking of taking ourselves out of the equation, this next sketch isn't even a sketch in the sense that it was written. We were at work. This is after the office, like they fired enough people that they started consolidating space.
Right, and we were not allowed to sit next to each other anymore.
Yeah, they put us on the like almost literal opposite ends of this room, which, hey, we got windows, but we were, you know, out of talking distance. So we used GChat. I mean,
right, obviously.
Can't stop, won't
they
stop.
They didn't know what that was.
So through GChat, and again, like, yeah, the company was failing. We're on GChat. I was watching Green Inferno from Eli Roth, and you were watching American Horror Story.
Yes.
The one with the name game in it, and that comes up in the episode. But because we're typing back and forth, like, you know, I'm detailing my movie, you're talking about your show, and a fly that seemed to be hovering outside your window. but I thought it was pretty funny enough that we could, again, run it through one of the, like, voice synthesizers and generate our sides of the conversation. And so I played it back for myself, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty funny. So here is that GChat sketch.
Watching Eli Roth's Green Inferno. 6 minutes in, and he's still an awful writer.
It's like he doesn't know how people talk to each other, or even walk around in the world.
Maybe he's on the spectrum, has an impossible time differentiating authenticity.
Interesting theory.
Also, this cast is awful.
I'm on IMDb. Everyone's a nobody.
The main character is supposed to be a college freshman.
She was only like 24 when the movie came out. She must film old.
I think the ginger kid from Spy Kids is in this.
Why the fuck would I know who the ginger kid from Spy Kids was?
I didn't see the movie either, but they made like 10 of those. Okay, the loser of the group threw up on himself when the plane went upside down. And the puke went over his face. That was funny.
Gross. Waterboarding with vomit would be highly effective. On a separate note, there's a big fucking fly that is haunting me, I think. So like a ghost of a big fly. It keeps landing outside my window.
Oh, outside. Weird. You have a fly stalker. Someone needs to explain microaggressions to that fly.
What?
Oh. Sad loser guy is being taken apart. They started with the eyes, then tongue, all eaten in front of the crowd. Legs and arms. They are rubbing spices on his body parts like a dry rub barbecue.
At least he couldn't see them eat his tongue.
I quote, Alexandro, why are they doing this? They think we're the enemy. WTF?
Ha ha. Well, for an awesome good film, I just watched the American Horror Story episode with the name game scene, and it was amazing.
And for good measure, we just had an unfunny scene where a pretty blonde girl has noisy diarrhea in their people cage.
Huh. Diarrhea is always hilarious. Even when you are all gonna be eaten.
The indigenous kids all held their nose and gestured, stinky. Okay, now the clear-cutting plundering workers are their only hope.
What if that fly is actually a robot fly?
Funny, this story also became a conspiracy nonsense thing. The group leader just dragged a 9/11 truther conspiracy into their plane going down. Now they're examining for virgins, because at the start, in a college course, they were talking about female genital mutilation.
If this was a sitcom, here's where someone would look at the camera and say, "That's our Eli." And then the credits roll.
Ha! I once saw a movie like this, but it was on Skinimax.
Seems about right.
When given what they think are pork scraps, a cute blonde girl says, "I'm vegan." She begins eating, realizes it's people, her friends specifically, then breaks the bowl and slashes her own throat.
That's quite an overreaction. What was that one movie where the guy locks the girl up and she's vegan, but he starves her and makes her eat like old rancid meat?
I never saw that one. Ha! Okay, no kidding. Their new plan was to take smuggled pot, jam it into the dead girl's throat knowing the indigenous people would cook and eat her. Now literally when the locals eat her they all get silly, and a few Americans escape.
That movie is ridiculous. P.S. The one I was talking about was Dread. It's a Clive Barker story.
Another quote. The locals get the munchies, and eat the ginger spy kid alive without even cooking him.
Wow, that's sad.
In a purely sadistic, and bad CGI special effect, they mount a guy on a stick, tenderize him, and unleash bullet ants on him. Ah, you remember if you're ever dealing with a native tribe, always have a trinket you can give to a small child who will eventually come to your aid.
Noted. Also, that giant fly is now outside of Sharon's window. I saw it as I walked in and then it flew away. Cause it doesn't want me to be onto it.
Ha! Is she eating, chewing with her mouth open? Because that fly is probably so jealous right now. Okay, Green Inferno is over. Green Inferno sucks.
Well, color me surprised.
The thesis statement is basically everybody sucks and everyone is a phony. Those who chose to act and do something are dumb, and those who do nothing are equally stupid.
Well, we missed the end of that. I don't know what
it was. Just more
off.
Of you ignoring me talking about important things and you going on about this bullshit in this movie.
I can be a little tunnel vision.
Yeah, I got really deep into watching American Horror Story there when I worked there, because I would just like put it on my screen and go, and then there was a coworker who was also very nosy who would come over and kind of look at my screen and sometimes blow up my spot, like, "Are you watching TV?" "No, shut the fuck up." No.
I suggest you find something you want to watch and leave me the fuck alone.
She liked to do what she liked to do is sit, you know, because I had to look at her then after a while because she got moved close to me. She would start crying and she was looking at her phone. She would watch those like baby videos or like soldiers coming home from war and the dog greets them. And so she would watch these really sad, like the dodo kind of videos of just sad things and cry at her desk.
At work. Wow. We all self-soothe in our own ways.
Well, I mean, to be fair, later after, you know, we left there, there were things I found out that was not normal. Like normal offices don't have an office where people go to cry. You know, we had that office. We would go there to
cry.
One
of the sales rooms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have walked in on a couple of people crying.
Yeah, sometimes I wanted to cry and someone was already in there crying and I had to go cry in the closet like a fucking loser.
Oh my
God. That's not normal.
That's so sad.
I know, but I thought it was normal.
That room for sleep.
I thought you crawled under the desk. I also one time crawled under the desk.
Well, that's behind us. Now we cry in public.
That's what I always say is the best part about New York City. You can walk down the street and cry and no one does shit for
it. It's completely anonymous.
I love it. It's the best thing ever. I remember one time someone I know, I'm going to remain nameless there. Someone I know was getting into a fight with their mother on the phone, crying, yelling at their mother, and a bystander cheered them on. Like, you tell her. I was like, yeah, that's nice.
You hear that, Mom? I've got the support of New York City. You're the bitch. Okay. Well, all right. So this next one definitely speaks to large efforts. And in this case, we relatively early on, I think you more than me are a particularly big fan of Spanish horror films.
Love it.
And I do love them, but you're the one who like seeks them out.
Yes.
And for a Spanish horror episode, it was pretty early in the process. I don't think it was any, it was definitely in the first 20 episodes. So I wrote out an intro and we edited and we went through Google Translate and then we went through a couple coworkers who spoke better Spanish than Google. And
right.
So we arrived at a Spanish opening where I'm doing my generic what's left of my Puerto Rican Spanish and you are doing a Castilian.
It's because that's how I learned. I learned Castellano. Not useful.
Castellano. Okay. It was for the purposes of singing.
That's how you sing, unless you're singing, obviously, like South American literature. But most like classical Spanish literature is going to be in Castellano or like Catalonian, something like that. Maybe you'll get Basque if you're like obscure and fancy.
This one, we're definitely reaching out to like Spanish speaking audiences and sort of trying to draw as much attention to some of these movies that we often overlook because subtitles are involved. But they're the full field. I think we only barely touched on Guillermo del Toro stuff. We tried to focus on more obscure.
Oh, because later we do a whole GDT episode.
Yeah, two.
Two, that's right. And we could do even more Spanish horror because it's so good.
Yeah, and it's about time. It's been a little while since we did this one.
Well, we're going to talk with our buddies at Miskatonic Musings about a Spanish horror film that's, I mean, it's American, it's English language.
Spanish filmmakers.
But it is Spanish filmmakers. Here we go.
¿Qué pasa con los cineastas españoles que les da su curiosa sensibilidad?
¿Es una gerencia común que asciende a su único punto de vista? No puede ser la geografía. Algunas de las contribuciones más excepcionales en el género del terror son procedentes de España, México, América Central y América del Sur.
Así que hoy vamos a mostrar un poco de amor a los artistas que hacen las películas en español que amamos tanto.
I'm Darren.
And I'm Mindy, and we are the Rance Macabre. What did we just say?
This joke was silly because we had just spent a month working on that intro. What did we just say? You better damn well know, Mindy. We spent enough time on it. And anyway, I think I wrote that line. I was like, say this. You're going to look ignorant.
You're going to look stupid. Okay.
I think it came out really well.
Hey, if you were not a Spanish speaker, you would have thought that was the shit, what we just did.
Okay. Seeing as how I kind of am, I'll just take your word for that.
Yeah, I think they would have been like, that's amazing. However, if you are a Spanish speaker, maybe you pat us on the head. Like, good try.
So in this sketch, this was, I think, an additional piece that we produced at the same time that we were working on the home invasion episode, the first of those. Mm-hmm. And I think I honestly couldn't really nail down a particular genre. So I was kind of figuring, like, why not try and jam every trope into this one sketch?
Yeah, why not?
It's a comedy anyway. So this is me as the potential home invader and you on the other side of the door.
Right.
And Murphy makes a cameo.
Because this was about the time when I was really convinced I could fit under my bed to hide.
Oh, right.
That was not true.
You also thought you could fit into the cabinet.
I did think I could fit into that cabinet. I certainly could not. However, my new bed is lifted up higher and I can probably get under there.
Maybe for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't tried to get under there. The thought of being pregnant and stuck under my bed because I'm so stupid, I want to win a bet.
Oh,
is
Jackson,
absurd.
You're home, thank God. I'm
hold
stuck
my
under
legs,
the bed.
Get me out.
Again, Mindy.
Who is it?
Purge.
Who?
purge started.
The purge? No, it didn't. That was like 2 weeks ago.
I know. I missed it. My cat was sick, and then last weekend I had a bar mitzvah. It's not my fault.
I'm not letting you in. And I'm going to call the cops if you don't beat it.
Oh, come on. It's like a whole nother year before the next purge.
What? How old are you? Trick or treat somewhere else, asshole.
I was kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm your neighbor. Can I borrow a cup of sugar?
What? No. Anyway, I don't believe you.
No, seriously. I'm making cake cookies. No, you're right. I'm totally going to do terrible things to you.
Why?
Because you were home.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere. Murphy, sit.
Oh, shit. Do you have a dog?
Yeah, I do. And he'll bite your dick off if you try and get in here.
Really? Because he sounds like he weighs about 3 pounds.
God damn it, Murphy. You're going to get us killed.
Hey, you've got mail out here.
Anything not junk mail?
There's a 20% off coupon for Bed Bath & Beyond and an NRA postcard. You've got a reminder here from your dentist. You're due for a cleaning. Wait, do you have a gun in there?
Yeah, I do. And I'm getting it.
No, don't do that. Hello? Ah, screw it. It's not like you've got silver bullets in there, right?
Oh, now you're a werewolf?
No. I mean, I don't want to brag, but vampire. I'm a vampire.
It's daylight out.
I'm the twilight kind?
Fuck you.
No, seriously, I'm fucking sparkling out here. Open the door. Check this out.
I can see you through the peephole, dickhead. Even if I did open the door, don't you need to be invited in?
I mean, yeah, I guess. You want to open the door? You wouldn't need to invite me in. Just stand close to the door.
So you can claw at me. No, thanks.
Hey, you've got a delivery coming. Did you order Fresh Direct? Yeah, I can sign for that. Ah, God damn it. How much garlic does one house need? What are you, running an Italian restaurant in there? Damn it. 1, 2, 3.
Are you counting
four,
my garlic?
5.
Oh my God, are you OCD?
Shut up. You're going to make me lose count.
And this I threw in because you always make a fuss about vampires being obsessive compulsive.
They are obsessive compulsive.
They don't exist, Mindy. They're vampires.
I'm just saying, throw some rice on the ground. They have to count the rice.
Now, had you come across, does Anne Rice use that device or is it strictly from the X-Files that you...
No, that comes from being a weird little kid and like researching vampires. What were you doing as a little kid? There's all these rules.
Ninja
you
turtles.
Can't cross water. You can't do this.
You can't cross water?
Yeah. No, of course not. The fuck?
I think, what? That's like from Planet of the Apes. Vampires can't cross bodies of water?
No.
But Nosferatu takes a boat.
Because he's in his own coffin of dirt. Because he's taking the dirt with him.
That's the only way.
Yes, because you can't leave your own, like, land.
Oh.
Why the fuck? It's soft? He would have put feathers in there if he just wanted it to be soft and hanging out.
Well, look at the guy. It's not like he gives a shit about creature comforts. He dresses like an undertaker.
No, he had to put his own dirt from his homeland.
All right. That kind of makes sense to me, I guess. I've never really put that together. But again, I've never heard that vampires can't cross bodies of water. Okay, well, that sketch is over.
The weird sketch that makes no sense.
No, it's written for a couple of giggles, and I really wanted to hear that Murphy line.
On the same kind of feel of home invasion, it was also the holiday time, and you know, I love Christmas. Obsessed with Christmas.
Yes, all things Christmas. That tree goes up the day after Thanksgiving.
It does. I start playing the Christmas music on the day after Thanksgiving. It's all Christmas all the time. So that's kind of like my mindset. So when you wanted to do a Christmas horror song, I was all for
Sounds
it.
Sounds like a terrible idea now that I hear it out loud. I mean, there's only so many. There's Run DMC's. Wait, no, that's not a horror song. I'm mixing the Fat Boys song about Freddy Krueger, Nightmare in the Hood.
When I think of Baby, It's Cold Outside, I think of like Michael Bublé,
Oh, really?
That kind of music, which he's a funny man, but I don't like that kind of music.
I wonder when he does it, does he take the song, I don't know, it's a little threatening.
Yes.
It's a little date rapey.
It's very date rapey. I think they re-recorded it with Idina Menzel and someone, maybe Michael Bublé, and they changed the words so it's less like, I'm going to put shit in your drink. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. I guess more threatening is our version of, I don't know. I think we've renamed it Baby It's Deadly Outside.
Maybe. That,
I don't know. It was the Christmas season. I was exhausted.
Won't you simply go?
Please let the right one in.
The answer is no.
But please, I've got a sin.
Get away from my home. At least make it clear.
Okay, I'll use a brick.
I guess I could have prefaced that by saying, I'm not a singer. I think I tried to I did as many takes as I possibly could. And I think I even auto-tuned a little, so there's no excuse, but it's...
I always hate listening to myself sing. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, and this is a weird one because it is a call-and-response style song, but the tempo is also challenging, and my writing's not exactly the best, so...
You're poisoning the well.
Well, they've already heard it at this
point.
What
sketch is next, Darren?
This next one is a goodie. This is the customer service sketch. On Patreon, we did a telephone terror episode, and you had read an article about the customer service calls that are always recording.
Right.
They let you know, for quality assurance, you know, they'll play it back for their own purposes kind of thing. But that also means that whenever you're on hold, you're being recorded and you might not realize it. So there is this whole, you know, there are a number of companies that have these recordings of people just candidly talking shit about, you know, probably the customer service they're about to get or what have you. And we thought, like, that's kind of creepy that
right.
There's all these recordings of people that they don't know exists. But, you know, it pretty easily ports itself over to horror. And this actually reminded me of one that'll come up in a minute. But the Grand Guignol episode, we talked about the sketch... I think it's just called The Telephone, right?
Yes.
And it's a really bare bone. It's a little long, so that's not the one that we chose to produce for that episode. But we did talk about how at the time The Telephone was this sort of new invention, and it did offer this new potential to, you know, scare someone remotely.
Right.
And sort of tell this story through audio. I mean, so that's convenient for our purposes. So here is the customer service sketch that Rachel does a little cameo. I do a couple terrible voices, but I think the one that matters is it works out pretty well, I hope.
Hi, Tess.
Welcome back, Tess. I hope you're feeling better.
Please have a seat.
Why is HR here? Am I being fired?
Believe it or not, I'm here for your sake. Before I forget, you should know after being out Thursday and Friday, you're down to 2 personal days for this year.
We were contacted by Jay Lodge about a call you were on last week. Before we start, is there anything you want to tell us?
No, nothing comes to mind.
Well, you should know after this meeting, we're expecting detectives. They're going to be asking you questions about the same thing we're going to discuss. We'd like to go over some things before that. First, you should know if this is some kind of prank or joke you're playing, or if your intention is to help someone sue the company, you should know we've already begun our own investigation.
What? I don't know what's happening. What are you talking about?
This is the recording from that call you received on Wednesday last week.
Look, the Wi-Fi isn't doing the doo-doo-doo thing, and I'm only on 3G, and I'm in my apartment, so there's no reason that a... What's your name again?
Molly.
Good. Now, you listen to me, Miss Molly. Wait, where's my phone?
You mean the phone you're speaking on now? It's probably in your hand.
if you're so smart, make my Wi-Fi work.
Can you tell me, when you look at your settings, what do you see?
The stupid phone app is dark, I think. Wait, who? Is that you? Did I order food? Are you food?
No, sir. I'm here in an office. I'm sorry, sir, but if you can't answer my questions, I can't help you. Sir? Are you there?
This is why you took off last week, isn't it? Why didn't you report this when it happened?
I've heard a lot of creepy stuff on calls. I don't know.
You claimed you were sick during your absence, but I suppose, given the circumstances, we can overlook that. But do remember, you've only got two personal calls.
Hey, so did you get fired? What happened?
No. I don't want to talk about it.
That one. I like how that turned out.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Except for my high heels. Always in high heels.
Well, you know, it's all about imagination. It's building a sound picture.
They don't need to know you're a slob.
Yeah, well, yeah, no one, you know, it's, what do you want me to say? Socks don't make a noise on tile.
This next set of clips comes from our Grand Guignol episode, which I was so excited to do. It turned out to be so much fun.
And we kind of threw our hats over the wall, so to speak. Like, we had talked about the subject and kind of teased, like, this is something we want to do. We just got to figure out what the approach is going to be. And, yeah, you dove deep with the
research
and the history to it.
It was a huge research episode. And that was, like, then, I mean, again, in, like, seances, we did some huge research. And then it became these, like, huge, big episodes in between some of the other more film research. This was more, like, literary research. And I love this episode. The only bad thing is there's these one weird accordions that just jump out of nowhere in this episode. I edited it. And I don't know what happened. It still makes me mad to this day. And I don't have the master.
I guess it must have been a slice from the opening theme, our opening theme done with accordions.
So, okay, well, also I'll say this. When I first started editing, I was very sloppy. And I would just hide or mute things or turn the automation down and not delete, like, the track. And so there's probably just, like, a blip in the automation, and that's what that was. And I was... rookie mistake.
That's fun. For those who haven't already heard it, who want to go back and listen to the Grand Guignol episode,
it's such a good episode, but that one stupid accordion. It's so embarrassing. Like, there are certain things, do you ever find this when you go back and listen to things? There are certain things that just embarrass the shit out of you. Like, the seances episode, I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln's wife, and I say that she was released on her own reconnaissance instead of recognizance.
She was checking out the enemy side. She was digging up dirt.
And it's still to this day. And I edited that episode and I was like, I can't, there was no way to take it out and keep the sentiment. And I was just like, keep the dumb stupidness in there.
when we're recording, we do catch ourselves and go back and record a bunch of stuff. But at the same time, if we've got momentum and we're just kind of making the next point, we don't.
I just didn't know. It flew out of my mouth. Didn't catch it until editing. Nothing I could do at that point in time.
The number of mispronunciations I've heard myself announce and then be like so mad at myself that like you said, there's no second take,
right?
And there's no like cut around, even though I will try my damnedest to chop out minutia and really just snip, like maybe if I quick fade it'll sound like that was the end of the sentence.
Or sometimes I'll be like, maybe I could introduce some music here and try and cover up my voice with some music. But that one, it still stands out. Like, you know how you think sometimes about just something really stupid that you said like 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
That is one for me, released on her own reconnaissance. Aww.
I think fans will let you know that episode came out great. And I wanted to do my best to sort of match the amount of work going into the research. And so we did a Grand Guignol style opening where Mindy announced in French. And the clip you'll be hearing intros with that and then transitions into the sketch that we produce, which was a Grand Guignol piece that was performed there and
word
is one
word
of the, you know, lucky ones that was translated to English, so it was available to us. And yeah, I think it went really well.
Mesdames et messieurs, à le théâtre du Grand Guignol.
Okay, so we'll transition from this into the sketch for... I don't remember the name of the sketch. I'm sure it comes up in the description.
Professor Leduc and Dr. Volgin are wearing surgical masks as the curtain rises. Stage right, dressed head to foot in white, the male nurse stands next to the trolley. The patient is a bald man. He is in pain in spite of the chloroform, stirring and crying out from time to time. A cross-shaped incision has been made on the forehead above the right eye. The flaps of skin are clipped back so that the frontal bone of the skull is exposed. Holes have been drilled with the trepanning drill. Everybody is leaning over with outstretched necks and attentively following the professor's every move.
It's no good. It's not going to work. The lesion means that I'm going to have to drill here and not here after all. There's no alternative.
That's the most resistant spot.
Yes. A compress. And another. And another one. A swab. How's his pulse?
Very weak.
What about his legs? Are they cold?
Very cold.
I only hope he's not going to give us any trouble with his circulation like the Dutchman the other day. Get the caffeine ready. A small amount. Swab. Just a moment. This is bad. Give him a jab immediately. This is bad. Let's do this quickly. All done.
I can't feel his pulse.
Within seconds, they pronounce the patient dead. Lamenting that
he was brought in 10 minutes too late.
The best part of this is the stinger, and that's the best part of Grand Guignol, that there is the stinger, and that's why it worked so well for Tales from the Crypt, because you got to have that nice turnaround and stinger
and concise stories.
Yeah, and this one is he was brought in 10 minutes too late. Was he, or did you just drill a bunch of holes in this guy's head?
When all you have is a hammer, all life's problems look like holes in the head.
Exactly. But the real problem was 10 minutes too late.
This next clip is an old intro from our Slimed episode. It's pure vanity. I really like the sound design and my bad Charlton Heston impression. I thought it was fun.
It was fun. And you gave me lots of different slime sounds to use as interstitials.
Yeah.
Because I did the bulk editing. You did the interstitials and everything. And then I also became like very indulgent in it because you gave me different slime sounds and I was like, I'm going to put them together. And I did different automation. And I made lots of squelching.
I think
sounds.
We got some comments about this being a little creepy in the ear.
Yeah.
People get skeeved out.
But I liked that. I thought it was perfect. Yeah.
And it has one of my favorite, like, buttons for the end of a scene, which is you making fun of me, which sometimes I even write in. But, yeah, slimed.
When you hear the word slime, what do you think of? Ooze, goo, sludge. Somewhere between liquid and solid, it lives between states. Whatever you're imagining, you probably don't want it on you. When this earth was still lava flows and primordial soup, our single-celled ancestors thrived and evolved. That same environment would be poisonous to us now. Maybe there's something in our DNA, something harkening back to the origins of life that makes us suspicious of this mysterious substance. Maybe it's because slime is the least anthropomorphic or the farthest thing from human a creature could be. Maybe it's a reflection of our worst impulses manifested, our greed, our addictions once indulged, always insatiable.
Or maybe just killer goo is icky and we don't want it on us, so let's get started.
I'm for that.
Why was I being punished? What did I do?
Oh, well, because you made us watch Leprechaun Origins.
Oh, okay. I was like, what did I do to be punished with this skit?
So
this is the only time I've ever, I think, done a voice.
Oh, that's funny to think.
I save it for when it's really necessary.
So this next clip, you wanted to throw in, I guess it's quite a performance. You've already sort of touched on you playing Vince McMahon of the WWE, because we had just reviewed Leprechaun Origins. This was around St. Patrick's Day. There was, you know, occasionally we do pander. And for this episode, I think during the movie, I started to get really angry that you
those
insisted.
Are special movies, you know, like I watch a lot of garbage, but it takes a real special movie to make me actively angry.
Yeah. Was Tetsuo the Iron Man? I mean, you dug up some fascinating stuff for Tetsuo the Iron Man, but you were puzzled
side.
And annoyed.
I did not care for it.
That I pushed that movie. Yeah. They're not all winners. but in this case, we had just reviewed the WWE movie, Leprechaun Origins, starring Hornswoggle in a little person actor on, you know, part of the WWE. And when I realized just the garbage I had ahead of me, I think I texted you and I said, I'm writing a sketch and that's your penance for making me watch this terrible, terrible movie. And so, yeah, so you were playing Vince McMahon. And I think you had looked up some clips to get the... I told you he's a grovelly voice guy. He sounds like Tom Waits on a cold and flu day.
And I think I watched a clip of him yelling at maybe Trump or something like that. And this was before all of that. So I think I had like a clip to go on.
Yeah,
that's how
not,
I did my
not
character.
Bad, not bad,
research.
Considering. Yeah, and I think because we were already at the office, it was actually pretty easy to record. I think we just kind of added it to a lunch hour review. Enter the offices of the WWE. Good morning, Mr. McMahon.
Please, call me Vince.
Okay, Vince. We'd like to make a horror movie.
Sure, we do that sometimes. I love scary movies, and the WWF has made some great films.
You mean the WWE, though, right?
That's right. We haven't been the WWF since we lost out to those goddamn pandas. Have you seen See No Evil 2?
I haven't, no. Sorry.
You should. Wrestling Review Magazine called it the Schindler's List of meat hook killer movie stories.
Don't laugh. I'm doing my best. Stop.
Anyway, if we're gonna get behind this, it's gotta be culturally sensitive. We've got a reputation to uphold.
Like your past depictions of Native Americans, Asian sumo wrestlers, African bushmen, little people dressed as leprechauns. Yeah. Actually, we do want to use your leprechaun.
Oh, you mean Hornswoggle?
I guess. I mean, we want to reboot the franchise. We want to take out the humor from the earlier movies, but his name is Hornswoggle?
Yeah, funny little guy. Would you believe I won him in a card game? He used to be Ted Turner's pool boy. Well, kiddie pool boy.
And scene. All right. I mean, I wrote it overnight. I don't...
I you know, it's the only voice I've done on the show. The rest I just
Is that possible?
Talk like myself.
All right, well,
yeah,
no, that's something I'll keep in mind for the future.
Skits. I just do them like I do myself.
So one of my favorite things to do is to find fun ways to integrate our theme song, The Dance Macabre, into another piece of music or another piece of music into our intro, whichever kind of flows best. But I think in the past we've done it for Psycho.
Yeah.
That was a fun surprise. The Walking Dead we did pretty early.
Right.
And every once in a while, I think even the Human Centipede, oh, that was a Patreon feature, but there's, okay, so this is a long way around to describe, but in the Human Centipede extra, that was something we recorded for Torture Porn.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Patreon exclusive, and I opened it with the South Park Human Centipede
right.
sketch, and there's a pitch where Kyle hits when he's being, well, when he's got the Japanese guy shitting in his mouth.
Right.
And so his scream goes up just enough to touch the pitch of our opening.
And you were like, there it is.
You know, lightning struck. That was the light bulb moment. And so that was the opening to that. But yeah, there present opportunities all over the place to integrate our opening theme song with other music, and it's one of my favorite things to look out for.
Yeah, sometimes it works better than others. Staircase worked really well. I was like pretty pleased with how the staircase and our song went together.
Ah, yeah, yeah, that theme song is really nice.
And I think probably the least good, but I still liked it, was Fright Night, when how that did not go together, but I kind of enjoyed it the same amount of time.
I wonder if they call those the smash cuts. I've done a fair share of smash cuts just because
sometimes you gotta do it.
Yeah. So going back, I think two years ago, we did D-Bag and the Minge.
Yeah, because we were doing radio horror.
Yeah. Well,
shock jock.
It was the opportunity to cover John Carpenter's The Fog. And we also found a Japanese movie that takes place in...
And Pontypool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot out there for
this
radio horror.
This was one of those I shared with my dad, the D-Bag and the Minge thing. And my dad goes, oh my God, Mindy. And then I knew like, oh, we got something good. He's like, does it have to be Minge? And I was like, yes.
I mean, I think we were still sitting together and at the office, we're kind of going over like, well, we need shock jock names that should reference who we are.
Right.
And should be radio show E.
Yeah.
So when we started throwing around, like D-Bag came pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy, and then I was tiptoeing. I was like, would you be willing to call yourself the Mitch?
Yes, I am. When we were recording these and talking about these in particular, I had in mind C-Lab 2021. At one point in time, Captain Murphy gets really bored and he makes a radio show, and it really reminded me of this. And he was Howling Wolf Murphy, and I was just like, oh, we got to do something like that. So that's where I was coming from.
97.5 WDIX up. First thing in the morning.
It's all about butts with you.
If you were any drunker, you'd be playing drums for the Who.
You literally have egg on your face.
It's mornings with D-Bag and the Minge.
Happy Monday, everybody, or should I say my condolences?
Hey, not everybody hates their job.
Sure, at least that's where they keep the free coffee. Go get that coffee.
I'm already on my second cup.
And I'm on my second bump. Ladies and gentlemen, Minji's coffee cup is actually a big gulp with enough Splenda to paralyze a mule.
Well, I like my coffee like I like my men.
So big she needs both hands.
Hey, I was going to say rich. Someone had their Wheaties this morning.
Was that her name? Weird name for a Ukrainian girl.
Ugh.
The time is 7:02. It's 42 degrees now, but it'll warm up a bit towards the afternoon with a high of 58. We've got a traffic update coming up, and at 7:15, we'll have a new movie review segment from the Fangoria Network called The Rance Macabre.
Now we go to Mitch, the glass eye in the sky. How are things looking on the bridges and tunnels, Mitch?
I didn't agree to that nickname, and I don't have a glass eye, you dick. Lots of people have amblyopia.
The traffic, Mitch?
Drivers going into the city should aim for the tunnels, as we've got delays on the Verrazano and the George Washington bridges. We got earlier word that the National Guard are conducting live practice drills on the roadways entering the city, so those delays will probably continue through the morning. Expect 10 to 15 minute delays in the Holland and Battery Tunnel, but at least they're moving. This is Mitch, the eye in the sky.
Weird.
Thanks, Mitch. We'll talk to you again in 10. Not an easy job to do without depth perception, but Mitch makes it work. What the hell is this next segment?
The Rance Macabre. Oh, I get it. It's a play on the Dance Macabre.
And what is that?
It's a piece of classical music, you Philistine. Jesus, you work at a radio station. Oh, that's right. We hate each other secretly. Yeah.
So that was just the first segment. If you're interested in that episode, you can go back and find our radio horror episode. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed enough of the absurdity. I think we even recorded it standing up so it would have a different energy.
Oh, yeah.
We raced through the lines and kind of tried to give it the Monday morning energy. And I think we even later in a segment, we've got Clay McLeod Chapman is one of the callers.
Yes.
I think he recorded,
left a message on your phone for you.
That's what, okay, yeah, yeah. Because he'd recorded my place a couple times, but in that case, I gave him the script.
Right.
And
it was literally like we called him up that day, I think, and you were like, could you please say this on my phone and record it? And then that's how you got the audio.
That's right, that's right. It was two takes, yeah. And your husband cameos as the eye joke as the one-eyed chopper, you know, eye in the sky guy. But he explains it's a wandering eye, not a glass eye. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. I enjoyed all of this. I think we've teased in the past that we would return to D-Bag and the Minge.
They're funny people. They are funny people.
I think the last go around, I thought like it would be fun if like after the world ended, well, sort of, like low-stakes sort of reboot that happens in the first radio horror episode, that we would be sort of remanded to the overnight hours, so we're even more bitter.
That's nice. And maybe then you could do, yeah, like, because you know in the fog how sultry she is, like, on her, because she's the nighttime lady.
Yeah, yeah.
So she talks all, like, sexy. It's completely different than your Monday morning obnoxious. The Monday morning DJs sound like they're on cocaine.
Yeah, well,
the time.
There's a tradition.
They probably are. Yeah,
but I do but like the idea of turning your show. Maybe we've got. Oh, that would be interesting. You could finish your show as like the quiet storm. Like you could really lean into the smooth talking jazz, and maybe my show is coming up and it's like 3:00 in the morning and no one's listening and all these conversations happen on air.
Right,
like the handover from your show to mine. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. But yeah, I don't know. We'll probably return to those characters in some capacity. Maybe we have to like redawn our personas as D-Bag and the Minge for the sake of the people or something to D-Bag and the Minge. Save the day.
These two like completely unlikable people go on adventures and save the world. When you are in horror, there's the good and the bad. And there are specific people who come and they make some amazing films. And then the same person that you love makes terrible films. And it happens kind of often. It's like lightning only strikes maybe once or twice for these people.
Okay.
And never, never again. And you can't just ignore them and their body of work. We still have to talk about them.
They've made their way into the ether.
Yeah. The and there's still like redeemable things occasionally happening, right?
I enjoyed a lot of The Visit.
Yes. I also did a lot of it. And then when I figured it out, I did not enjoy it so much. But that's the intro for this next clip.
M. Night Shyamalan belongs to a school of filmmakers for whom the blockbuster was already an established idea. The Steven Spielberg summer hits like Jaws or Raiders of the Lost Ark
broke records in the...
It's been me this whole time. There's no Darren. It's only Mindy.
Wait, we already did this joke.
What?
On our 100th episode, it was the meta horror. Remember, we had me as a computer simulation that you were doing all this, writing my side of the dialogue.
Are you trying to tell me we're doing something that's already been done?
Yeah, I should have caught this when I was... Wait, what are you doing?
I'm just asking if we're in the middle of doing something that's already been done better.
I see what you're doing.
Shut up!
So that's it. We have come to the end of our first and I'm going to say likely only clip show.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll check in a long while later and come back to this.
It
after
takes a while.
Accumulate. I think the next thing coming is bloopers reels that we kind of collect over the years and
right.
Patreon gets first dibs at. I think we occasionally include in like the Halloween episodes or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some of the bloopers are just stupid, though, so, you know.
I mean, they're bloopers. Yeah, we can't always be pros. What?
It can't all be Parks and Rec's bloopers reels.
But yeah, so a lot of this content came from patreon.com/rantsmacabre, where through our patron support, we are able to produce all these ridiculous and fun pieces of theater. I'm going to call them theater.
Yeah, dude, sure.
So check us out there. Otherwise, you can find us on all the standard social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Rants Macabre. Our email is therantsmacabre@gmail.com. We're on Stitcher and iTunes and Google Play Music.
If you find us on iTunes, drop us some stars.
Yeah, give us a review.
Yeah.
It's very useful to help our ranking there. And yeah, it makes us feel really good.
Yes, we like that. I eat compliments for breakfast and ignore the negative ones.
There's no negative ones.
No, but if there was, I would ignore them.
I think the negative ones come to our email.
That's true.
So yeah, that email again is therantsmacabre@gmail.com.
Write me. Tell me the patriarchy things that I need to know. That's usually what we get.
So yeah, I'll leave it there. This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.
The Rants Macabre. Cutting,
cultured,
and curated.
And curated. And curated. And curated.